The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of This Thing On. I'm here with my co-host Joe Foster.
Hello.
Producer Al.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, Nathan Caton.
What's going on?
Hello, right. Nathan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm cool. Apart from the M25 being a bitch.
I was gonna say,
Yeah, but apart from the M25, I'm calm.
Do you ever get used to that as a comedian?
No. Oh my gosh. You know what? Hey, I feel like I'm getting paranoid that they put roadworks on or like traffic only when there's comedians on the road.
is it true as well? Because like I used to work in an insurance company. Is it more expensive because if you are a comedian?
Yeah, because they assume that, you know, that we're irresponsible.
Pissed at a gig.
Yeah, exactly.
They assume that comedians are irresponsible.
But also, shame, I suppose, because they're like...
It's because... Because I heard about this. Someone was doing an interview and they said it's because... I think it's because they might be rushing to gigs.
Yeah.
Which is the big thing.
Like I was like, doing today. Sorry, Admiral.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. So that was absolutely correct. Yeah, they were right.
Nathan's premium's just gone up.
Yeah, exactly. Shit.
AA, don't listen.
Did you ever... work for the same insurance company that I did, or was it a different one?
No, different.
Okay, cool. They used to do.
We both had equally boring jobs at different companies.
When the first job I had, I worked at an insurance company. It was like an injury policy, and if you lost your dick, you would get 1% of the payout.
What?
If you lost your dick?
Yeah, if you lost your genitals, that was the thing, in it, and I had to read that out as part of the script, like the terms and conditions. And people are always like, wait, what? Sorry, what did you say? But apparently that's it, like 1% of the payout. And the only thing I could use to sort of objection handle was to say, you know, what are the chances of that? Which when you're selling like an injury policy.
When you said lost your dick, I thought, like, misplaced it. I was like, how do you misplace a dick? Where's last place I had it?
Keys, wallet.
Oh, something's missing, guys.
That's an awkward thing if you've got to call up a venue. Did I leave my iPhone there? Also, I'm missing something else.
Everything in the dick.
That's for those people that say, like, I always hear people say, oh, I wish, you know, someone else could go to the toilet for you. No, you don't. Yeah. You lose your dick. Lose your dick down that toilet. Give it away.
Do you prefer driving to gigs or the trains?
Nah, train. Easy train every day. The train, you can sit there and just like, I don't know, do work, sleep, just doss about. But you can't only do that when you're behind the wheel. Because, yeah, that's why...
Requires a certain level of focus.
That's why the premiums are so high.
I think the first time we met, I was at a gig where I was well out of my depth. I think it was we gigged in Southampton together in like a room that was like, it was a roof, but the walls were all glass. So everyone could kind of, we were in like a greenhouse kind of thing. And like everyone could see the gig happening. It was you, me, Ivo Graham and Andrew O'Neill. You guys were all doing 20s and I had like just a little 5 just tagged on the end of your set. But that night, it was like, this is when I was first starting out and the trains were like, I was like, do I really want to do comedy? It's taken me 3.5 hours to get here.
Welcome to the circuit.
And nothing's changed.
That sounds like the Spinnaker Tower in Portsmouth. Are you sure it wasn't the Spinnaker Tower?
Yeah. It was really high up.
I did a gig there on Christmas.
What, the Spinnaker Tower?
Yeah, so not only did you have people shouting at you from inside the venue, the people who were walking past outside also had their bit to say, which was just fucking horrible.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Twice the hecklers.
Just throwing up on the window behind me. Just runs down.
What? In Portsmouth?
Yeah, I know. Shocker.
There is something about Portsmouth gigs, isn't it? Like, there's only one Portsmouth gig that I've done, which has been like amazing. Well, yes, all of us have been like, how much do I need the money?
Yeah. Why am I here? Yeah.
That's the problem with that. The answer's always the same, isn't it? A lot, please. I did one where I can't remember whether it was a Tiger one or Oceana in Portsmouth. And it was on Halloween. So all the way on my way there, I was going, well, I already know this is going to be fucking horrible. Like, all of the evidence points, it was the nicest gig ever. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, because, I mean, Halloween gigs, I suppose people aren't going there to go nuts because they'd be out. Yeah. This is like their plan for the evening, Halloween.
I know what it was, man. Because obviously, Portsmouth, if you think bad gig, Halloween, you think bad gig. It's a classic maths, negative and negative equals positive.
Comedy science.
Well, glass dome and friendly audience, hell. Yeah.
Two positives.
There you go. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more negative. I'm struggling to think of them now. But yeah, I mean, oh God. That one was surprising though. I like it when it's a nice surprise.
Yeah,
you're here all weekend, aren't you? Mm-hmm. We're inside the Comedia.
Yes,
right now.
You very kindly host us every month now.
I sent them a message today promising that we're going to buy them biscuits, and then I bought no biscuits. So
well, that's what you're doing after the show.
Yeah, get some fucking biscuits.
Do you gig in Brighton quite a lot?
Every 5 months, I reckon. You know, like last year's tour, I did a date here at a Comedia, actually. I do Comedia quite a bit, actually, so yeah. I like Brighton. Brighton's nice.
Quite a nice, chilled kind of vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, gigs aside, it's a nice place.
Yeah.
You know, by the seaside.
Are you down for the weekend? Are you going back and then forward?
I'm going back. Well, I could be going back tonight. Well, I shouldn't say that because I've got a hotel. But it's my mate's birthday, and he's like having like a little do. So I could be going back for that tonight and then driving back up same night, but I might be too tired. And then I need to be back Sunday morning for the Brentford game.
Yes.
It's the last game of the season we're going to relegate Blackburn. I don't want to be there to see that.
Yeah.
Nothing fills a football fan with joy than inflicting misery on other football
fans.
Yeah,
oh, exactly, man. Yeah, they were champions in 95.
It's crazy.
And look at them now. Look at them now.
I enjoy nothing more than just seeing teams of former... Like, when Leeds dropped out of the playoffs at the expense of Fulham, just... Oh! Nothing beats that feeling of joy.
But there's also other non-football supporters that lose out, like me. Because we went for... My girlfriend got there, rented out a bar that is right by London Road Station. Rented out the table in the garden, and we got there, and obviously last week was Brighton's last game of the season. So we just walked in, the whole place was full of football fans. We walked up to the bar and went, sorry, we've reserved a table, and the woman just went, what the like, there is nothing I can do.
I overheard someone talking on a train the other day, and they're talking about how football fans, if you're not a football fan and you encounter football fans, how it's so intimidating, which is fair enough. It can be very intimidating. But they tried to justify it with, you wouldn't get that if you bumped into a group of rugby fans. I was like, have you ever been on a packed train carriage with rugby fans? Yeah. There were so many, it was insane.
Yeah, but then also, it kind of depends on what football team it is, what club it is.
What, a heated West London derby with Fulham? I actually went to a Fulham game once. And you can tell this how, kind of how posh Fulham is. I went into a pub before the games, and all my friends were making fun of me. They're kind of going like, oh, it's a really posh club. It's like, it's not like that. Yeah. And we were in a pub, and this guy came up to us, and he was like selling something under his jacket. I was like, this will show him it's not that. It's a bit dodgy around here. Opened up, it was like mussels. he was selling seafood under his jacket.
That's 35 and a half.
Get your caviar.
Putney massive right there. No, actually, you know what? Something happened. Yeah, last week we played each other, right?
Yeah.
I was on my way to the game, and obviously you walk from Putney Station or Putney Bridge Station, along the Thames, right?
Yeah.
And it's Brentford fans and Fulham fans all mixed together, right? Yeah. So me and my brother stood there, and then there's a Fulham fan behind us. And out of nowhere, he goes, come on, you whites. And me and brother just turn around like, what? And he went from like hardcore football fan to like middle class. No, sorry. So, mate, we're just joking. Like, we know what you mean.
That's amazing. And you do a football show on Facebook Live now as well.
Yeah, it's for goal.com. It's called Studs Up, every Thursday, 8 p.m. And it's just a casual chit chat about football. We've got a few like clips from the previous week in the Premier League and some like of the European leagues. It's just guys and a girl. Sorry, you've got a girl as well. Sorry, I don't sound sexist. just a football fan just sitting around just chatting about football. It's just a laugh.
And do you all support different teams, which creates the friction?
Yeah, my co-host, he's a Chelsea fan, which is so annoying at the moment.
I love Joe trying to understand football. He is a Chelsea fan, and that's not okay.
Are you all part of sort of rival gang?
Yeah, me and Nathan should be, we're Fulham fans and Brentford fans, we shouldn't be talking exactly, right now.
Can you sit here to diffuse attention?
I will. I knew I'd have to sort this out.
We were actually in the same stand on Saturday, because Fulham's one of the only clubs in England that they've got the away bit, but they've also got a neutral stand.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, which is like, so that the other half of your stand was all, it was Brentford and Fulham mixed. Really? Because Fulham's the least threatening club, and I was like, just let the away team have more fans. What's the worst that could happen?
So were you behind the goal where scored? Okay, cool.
Right. What nice fellas.
Yeah. Hey, our celebrity fans include Hugh Grant. If shit kicks off, we're safe.
He's looking a bit... Oh, actually, I was just about to say something disparaging about Hugh Grant. He's looking a bit wizened nowadays, isn't he? But then I think about it and I just go, he's just aged.
Yeah, he's... Yeah. How old is he? 50-odd now?
50.
At least.
I remember when there was a huge buzz. There was a huge buzz.
The 90s?
At the end of the 90s. No, at the Edinburgh Festival, because Hugh Grant was there. You must remember this. We were up there the same year. And everyone was going, Hugh Grant was there.
Oh, really?
And everywhere I went. And I was like, I don't give a shit. What's he going to see? He won't be going to see your show.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's rocking at Craven Cottage when he shows up.
Who are your other celebrity fans?
Oh, we've got loads. Daniel Radcliffe.
Radders. Yeah. I mean, they are literally, are they all people who don't look like they could have a tear?
They're called The Firm.
Ian Beale.
Richard Osman. Richard Osman actually is a Fulham fan.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So that's...
Lily Allen.
Yeah, Lily Allen. Pope John Paul II.
But Lily Allen's the one against the grain of that.
Lily Allen changed. Isn't
it? In what way?
She's now a Chelsea fan. Because she got her new husband was a Chelsea fan, and she didn't want to raise her child in a house of conflict.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she changed football teams. Hang on, let me explain this to Joe. Joe, that's a bad thing.
So she can't just swap?
No, you're not allowed to just change. Like jobs, and you can't just change. Yeah.
And especially to go from Fulham to Chelsea. It's like,
That's
Sol Campbell-esque.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
I agree. Paul Gascoigne, Teddy Sheringham.
That's just the kind of thing he'd do. The only reason I like that one is because it plays on the only knowledge I have of football, which is World Cup 1998. I go, of course, Sol. Yeah, what a prick.
Nathan, any celebrity fans of Brentford?
Natalie Sawyer. Right, nice. Sky Sports News.
Nice.
I met her a few times. Lovely person. Who else? Apparently Jim Carrey, but I know. How random. But yeah. I've been told Jim Carrey is a Brentford fan. I doubt he even knows we exist.
It's apparently Tom Hanks is an Aston Villa fan because he saw it come up on news in America. Aston Villa thought, oh, that sounds like a lovely place.
Does sound nice, doesn't it? Aston Villa. Lovely.
I think Bill Bailey had a bit in one of his shows once about how just Queen's Park Rangers just sounds like, to Americans, just the most glorious team. I support the Queen's Park Rangers.
And then you get there to show up at the bush like, oh, okay.
What's going on?
Doesn't I'm literally throwing which what, Matt Damon supports Liverpool. No. I think I'm right.
Is that your? That's your other football fact.
This is my other. They're the two. I've got a third, but we've got like an hour. So.
Yeah, yeah. Pace yourself.
Save the gold. Save the gold.
Open with your strongest one. Close with your second.
And then, like in sort of 45 minutes, I'll go. And you know, Bobby Samora loves to guard.
Are you familiar with the offside? I think it's time for our first feature, which is our second time we're doing it, and it's called Plot That About.
Plots, that a plot, 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 that a about.
Rightio, we've got a new feature, and it's called Plots That About, because I'm great at puns. basically, I've found two films, yeah. And I've taken the real film title. And you've got to tell me what you... I'm going to give you a film title, you and Joe.
Okay.
And you've got to tell me what you think that film's about, and producer Al's going to decide which of those films he would most like to see. And feel free to be as specific as possible. Last week, I think we had Zach Braff on holiday in Hawaii.
Cool.
And I'll reveal what the actual films are about at the end as well. Joe, I think...
So sorry, because we've done this twice. I need clarity.
Okay. What we're doing now. Nathan, take five. Joe needs this explained.
So are we doing two separate films?
Yeah,
or are we doing
you get a separate film each. Okay. I've got some backup films just in case either of you two have heard of these ridiculous films.
No, okay. And they're all real?
They're both real films.
Oh, wow. That's good, isn't it?
I've just made up two sentences. Good luck, guys. Yeah. So it's Al's going to decide the winner on which of the made-up films he'd like to see, but I'll also reveal what the films are actually about.
Yeah, cool.
You are going to go first. Yep, as specific and crazy as you like.
All right.
Your film, and I really hope you haven't seen this, Pompoko.
Pompoko. Okay. Pompoko is a film about a man who runs a budget Thai restaurant.
Okay.
Who's
the man played by?
The man is played by Hugh Grant.
Obviously. Who else? 90s Hugh Grant or now Hugh Grant?
Yep. The now Hugh Grant.
Now Hugh Grant.
Because he's kind of he's been working away getting his Thai food ready. And everyone, like, basically what's happened is he's just plowing money into it secretly. It's kind of like one of those terrible films. Mm. You know the ones where you watch it and you know that it's already going to be depressing? Like Manchester by the Sea.
Okay.
That one. So, like, you know it's going to be a bit depressing, but then it'll be heartwarming at the end. But this one doesn't get heartwarming. Because what happens is secretly... he's got a sex addiction, which I don't think is too far away from
his
real life. You've got to play.
I said film, not documentary.
You've got to play to your strengths when you're a little bit older. And so what he does is he's going to lose his Thai restaurant. And they're going to close it down because, I mean, it's awful. It's just not very good.
Is this a comedy or is this a serious film?
This is a... No, it's a depressing film, like I said.
Okay, yeah.
With comic elements.
Okay.
And so when people can't... So it's kind of like, yeah, it's comedy-ish.
Okay.
So basically he's given 90 days because they're always given like a really shitty amount of time to find the money. And he tries loads of different things in a montage until he settles on being... a jet ski race champion. And there is one, he goes through all the things, there's another montage. So basically the montage is set to what all good montages are set to, which is Push It to the Limit from Scarface. And then there's two montages. The second half of the film is all montage. So there's the one. There's a one.
It's a 3-hour film, just an hour of montages.
He tries a lot of stuff. He's got to get that money. And so he tries a lot of stuff. Then he settles on thingy, jet skiing. But then he has to work his way up through the ranks. So that's the second montage. Okay. And then it gets to the end, and he's got this one big race. And then what happens is he goes, he's been practicing really hard, and then he goes to do the race, and he his engine blows up. And as it blows up, one of the pistons hit him in the back of the head, and then he drowns. And then that's the end of the film.
Wow. Impressive.
I said it was
spoiler alert as well.
Yeah. So I said it was going to be sad. So
yeah, you did.
I mean, he could've,
was that your logic? Like, shit, it's actually like he's about to have something, but just kill off the character.
And then as the credits roll, there's the words come up on the screen that just says, yeah, life's not a fucking fairy tale.
Based on a true story. R.I.P. Hugh Grant. He's not actually dead.
Hugh Grant on a jet ski. Wow. Ladies, are you wetting yourselves?
Just so you know what you're dealing with, Nathan.
Yeah, beat that, Jesus.
You do a better one.
So that's Pompoco then.
Wow. Right.
Apparently.
Nathan.
Okay.
It's quite difficult to work when you don't know films. It's quite difficult to work out what films are actually obscure because I'm not that good with films. So I found one with a 3% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, shit.
So this better be shit. Your film is Half Past Dead.
Half Past Dead.
Have you ever seen that film?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so Hugh Grant comes back to life, right?
like it already.
Because they thought he was dead, but he was half past dead, but still alive. They thought he was dead. He comes back to life, right? And he's brought back to life by Samuel L. Jackson because he's a leader, like he always is in the movies. Yep, you know, like Coach Carter, you know, Avengers. He's a leader, and he assembles a team of old past it celebrities. So it's this reincarnated back from the dead Hugh Grant. Bruce Forsyth, Prince Philip has recently joined the team, and they go round as a team fighting crime against old people. So basically, if there's young people who are terrorizing old people, they kick the shit out of the young people.
But Forsyth's got a real mean streak.
Yeah, he's got like a venom, which is just basically old people pissed, which is pissed on people.
It burns.
Yeah, they crumble away, and then Prince Philip he tells like a really offensive joke. That's his weapon. Right, he shocks people into this fucking off.
Pierces their eardrums.
Yeah, exactly. They can't take it. Right, and Hugh Grant tries chatting up women. But because he's old, it freaks them out. So he's like the pervert, but he scares people away like that. And as a group, as a collective, they're called Half Past Dead, right? And their nemesis, right, is One Direction, who are trying to, you know, bring up the youth. And Half Past Dead are like, fuck that shit.
Stir up the youth in some sort of revolution.
Yeah, exactly. Old people, they still got it. So Half Past Dead.
Perfect. And that kind of leaves it open for another sequel to this, this series of films.
No. Next one's going to be called Quarter Two Dead.
Sorry, I'm running late. Sorry, dead.
don't
I quite like this series of films.
Don't let Marvel hear it. That's
what this is Hugh Grant's revival. He hasn't done anything in a while.
And the thing is, it suits him down to the ground, doesn't it?
I just want to see him not doing the same old role. So I want to see him in a Thai restaurant, then brought back from the dead, just kicking the shit out of young people. Right. Al, would you like all to right. reveal... What should I do first? Should we reveal what the films are actually about? Or do you want to decide which one you'd like to see?
Oh, let's decide.
Okay, you decide.
I've made a decision.
You've made a decision.
I've made a decision.
Okay. You can put in some like tense music here.
I'll put some tense music. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
Only that.
No, you can edit over that, but that's just for now. I'm just trying to create tension
in
the room.
Don't ruin my amazing bed I'm going to make. Well, I think because he brought it full circle and back round to the title, Nathan takes this one. Well done.
Congratulations, well done. Nathan. Congratulations.
Come to cinemas.
Those films were so much better, I kind of even don't want to say what the actual ones are about, but I will. Half Past Dead is nowhere near as good, to be honest. It's about a criminal mastermind that infiltrates a high-tech prison in order to get inmate to reveal where he's hidden some money. And then some FBI agent sticks his nose in, played by Steven Seagal. Boring. Oh, I want to see Hugh Grant.
Any movie with Steven Seagal is awful, though, isn't it? I mean,
did I miss something? But why is that called Half Past Dead?
Yeah. It didn't say, to be honest. And did I also say 3% on Rotten Tomatoes? Yeah. I don't think the name has to say anything.
You can tell that there's a direct correlation between the age of Steven Seagal and the rating. I think when he got to his own age, he was just like, "Fuck it, put me in it." I don't mind.
It's called Half Past Dead. Don't even need to see the plot. Sign me up.
It's just right.
It's like
for
gigs
me,
in Portsmouth for us. Look, I need the money. But the gig's got a 3% Rotten Tomatoes score. Fuck it, I'll do it.
Got bills to pay, man.
Joe, Pompoco.
Yes.
Is this Hugh Grant thing? Yeah. Shape-shifting raccoons band together to save their forest homeland from the bulldozers of greedy land developers. They get their powers from, and this is Wikipedia's words, not mine, their gigantic and prominent testicles.
That sounds so much better than the film that I can
imagine. Cartoon, obviously.
What I've taken away from this is leave it to the professionals.
Congratulations, Nathan, for winning the second Plot's That About.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man. Yeah.
None to Joe so far.
None to me. I've got a feeling it will remain none. But I will keep
trying.
I don't
know why you think that, Joe. You're so good at winning our quizzes.
I think it's because at the end they usually become quite sad. What was the one? I can't remember what the last one was.
Last episode we gave him a film called Believer based on a true story. Ooh. And his plot was like Zach Braff, who's in an office, and then his dream coming true was he wins a holiday to Hawaii. That was it. And also, based on a true story, that could have happened.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's real. I go with realism.
You can't put a price on realism.
There you go. But I'm interested to see where it goes. I really am.
What to see your what the feature or
everything? No, I think it's going to be good. Well done, Alex. It's Alex's idea.
What
are you doing later on, Alex? After we're done
tonight, I am. Oh, it's the Fringe. So going to do a potentially ridiculous gig.
We're in May, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you ever done anything Brighton Fringe before?
I have a few years ago. Yeah.
It's just crazy, and also if you know a lot of comedians, you have a lot of shows to see.
Oh yeah,
well, yeah. I literally was like, on a Sunday evening recently, I was like, I'm just gonna have a quick look at the Fringe thing. I just sort out what shows. It was an hour and a half of admin of like, okay, well if I move that show to there, I can fit that one in there. I've got a 2:15. Can you fit me in for a 4:00? It was. I think I've done it, but I'm gonna have to disappoint some friends.
I'm just going to say this and then you can see how horrible that you think I am. I used to alternate my walk to my venue in Edinburgh because I knew where certain people would be flying. And I didn't want to go and see their show. So I'd just walk around the long way.
Joe, it's taken you an hour and a half to get here today. Yeah, I had to go around Edinburgh.
It was necessary.
And you're doing a tour later this year.
Yep. Tour's called The Pursuit of Happiness. It's kind of followed up to last year's Straight Out of Middlesex tour about my life, you know, things that are going on in my life and in the world.
Nice.
Yeah, nothing. It's not like deep. It's not like, you know, Pompoko deep.
Not like giant raccoons with testicles deep. Although if I see your show later in the year, I think... Where did Nathan get that raccoon costume?
He made a lot out of that in the end. They're making it into a book.
just a generic...
And the tour dates, some are confirmed but some aren't.
Yes, but it will start end of October and then run through to December. But cool. All the dates will be up on my website when it's all confirmed.
Sure, and at the end we'll give out your website and stuff. So
yeah, NathanKaitan.com.
Cool. So how long are you down for? You're just down for the whole weekend?
Yep, down for all weekend, back Sunday morning.
Are you doing Edinburgh this year, or are you focusing on the tour?
Nah, I'm focusing on the tour, man. You know what? Edinburgh, I love the city, but the festival missed all that money. So, yeah. Like, last year, I didn't do it. I went on holiday with my girlfriend. First holiday I've been on in my adult life.
Where'd you go?
Algarves.
Nice.
Yeah, and
nice. I love Portuguese people, are so friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so cheap. It's like, it's so good.
Mate, I could have bought Portugal. but it's such a good holiday. And I was like, oh, so is this what normal people do?
Yeah.
Like,
my face is doing this really weird thing where it's kind of curling up in the corners and I'm smiling.
Exactly. One Saturday night, I was like on the beach having a pizza. I was like, I can get used to this. Instead of being in drizzly Edinburgh.
It kind of makes you think that you need to do it, doesn't it? And then you go, oh, no, I don't need to do it. Well, you do, I mean, to a certain extent, but... I need to.
And Joe will be there from... But I mean, that's the thing, it is a nice city. But as soon as you just cram it full of... Yeah. Comedians. And
desperate attention-seeking comedians going, like me, like me, like me. So, oh, piss off. Yeah. You're bloody flyers.
I think I said this on the last podcast as well, because I just tend to repeat myself over and over again. But I find weird about Edinburgh, how everyone's always sort of immaculately turned out, and I'm always like sweaty and like just horrible.
It's because you walked the extra hour. Yeah,
that's the circuit of the castle to get there.
Over the hill. And but they're up there sometimes, little fuckers. But yeah. No, I always just find myself as sort of... How long did you go on holiday for?
2 weeks. Oh, nice. Yeah, it was, man. Lovely.
I went to Portugal last year. I went to Porto. That was amazing. It's not. I don't think Porto's too far from there, actually. But they've got this sandwich there, which is... It's their dish. Honestly, it's voted in the top three sandwiches in the world.
Oh, really?
But it's like... I think they've got cafes that literally all they sell is this sandwich. It's called La Francia Senior, which translates as the Little French Lady. And it looks and is exactly something I would make hungover. It's literally a meat sandwich then just covered in melted cheese with a fried egg on top.
What do you mean meat? What meat?
Like, okay, in there you've got like beef, spicy sausage, ham.
What, more than one meat?
Oh, there's like five or six in there. And it's like that thick, covered in a spicy tomato sauce, and then just covered in chips. And that's their city dish.
Did you say there was a fried egg?
Yeah, there's a fried egg in there as well.
Sometimes people just take things too far. Can I have it? No egg. But did you say there's cheese in there as well?
It's about covered in melted cheese.
No need for the egg, I'm going to say. I mean, I've never had
that, that's where you draw the line. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Egg, fuck that.
All the meat, yeah, fine. Cool.
It's like, it's because the thing is I've been brainwashed because my girlfriend hates yolks. And then, you know that yolk porn shit?
I love a yolk. Yes.
Yeah, I know. She's a monster. I live with it every day. There's no but like... So now she's passed it to me, and every time, like, someone had an egg on a pizza the other day, and I've never done it before, but I was like, what the fuck are you doing with that, idiot?
Egg on a pizza is quite controversial.
Yeah, I love egg, but we wouldn't put it on a pizza.
So, I mean, you guys are throwing me off now. Am I brainwashed or not?
Yolks are fine. Yolk on a pizza, no. Yeah. That's what I'm going with.
Do you know what I found out you can do the other day? I found out that the whitened egg is optional. And you can take all the white away and just have the yolk. Nice. That's much better. Do that.
Hang on, so you've gone from...
For Friday?
Yeah. So you just take... When you crack it, you just gradually take all the white out into one end of it and then just have the yolk. And then you just fry the yolk and then you put it in like a sandwich. So rather than when you have like a sausage... I'm going too deep into it. When you have like a sausage sandwich, sometimes when I have it, like the white is like, this is too much. But if you've just got the yolk and then the yolk breaks, fellas.
And Joe will be starting his cooking show.
It's literally just sausage sandwiches.
I'm talking hard yolk or soft yolk, because that's...
Oh, it's soft.
Okay, good. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Glad we cleared that.
Okay, cool. We can continue now. Sorry.
There used to be a burger van outside my old work, and it was open really early in the morning. So when I was hungover, I used to walk past and be, I'm just gonna get like a big sandwich. And then, like, this was at like 7:30 in the morning, and they always used to flip the fried egg then like push it down. Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing, you fucking idiot? Like, I really went mad about it every time they did it, because I only got one like every 6 months, so they didn't recognize me. But like, every time they flip my egg, I was like, what the fuck are you doing, you crazy bastard?
After the third time you kick, I've just got the poster, we'll kick off about this.
Yes, a photo.
Are you a good cook, Nathan, do you think?
I'm all right, actually. But it depends what I'm making.
What's your speciality?
Okay, I don't want to sound like a stereotype, right? But I make good chicken. I do. My fried chicken is bomb. I made it last week and my mom came over. And yeah, they loved it. They took some home.
Nice.
Fried chicken, curry goat.
Nice. I've never actually had goat before.
It's bomb.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I used to have it every Sunday with my friend.
Nice.
It's really, really nice.
Somewhere.
Oh, I want some now. Where is it? Where? There's nowhere here that does it. I don't know.
Some pubs used to do it here.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's go check out Brighton.
I've never made my own fried chicken. Does that take a long time, or is it?
Well, it depends. Okay, what I do is right. Okay, break this down for you guys. Okay, I get my chicken, I season it the day before, leave it in the fridge overnight, and then I make the coating myself, right? So you've got some flour, baking powder, and then you've got the seasonings that you want, some mixed spice in there as well, mixed it all up, right? And then whisk an egg, a few eggs, get the seasoned chicken, put it into the egg.
Always comes back to my eggs with us.
Yeah. No whites. all the milk, and then put it into the flour mix that you've made. I shallow fry it for about, say, 4 or 5 minutes, and then I put the rest in the oven so it doesn't get all the oil. So it's not as, you know, greasy.
That sounds good.
So this podcast is coming around for dinner. All of next week.
He didn't bring any with him.
Yeah, that's why I was late. I was in the car. We're in traffic. It was my traffic.
Shall we do your feature, Joe?
Yeah.
Does it still have no name?
We could call it... I was trying to think of a song.
Should
name.
We just call it Joe's Feature?
Let's not do that. I mean, let's try and think of a song with release in the title, because it's about release dates, films, isn't it?
Okay. Well, like right now, what do you mean? This is some admin for us to do after the show?
Well,
this can get edited out.
Basically, I meant to Google it, but I haven't Googled it yet. So now it's just the feature that we're doing currently.
Okay.
the feature we're doing currently. There you go.
The feature we're doing currently, a.k.a. Joe's feature. Are you a big film fan, Nathan? Or not particularly?
I am, but I just don't get a lot of time to watch films.
That's the thing. I love films, but it's a big commitment. Yeah. For my evening, it's like, I'm so much used to just watching like half an hour episodes of something that you can just digest quickly. Like 2 hours, I don't know if I can commit to that.
I can only watch a film if I'm with my brother or my girlfriend or my cousin, because they'll sit me down and be like, watch this. If I'm by myself, I'm like, I got to do something. I can't sit there not doing nothing.
Yeah. I'm the same. I watch films with people.
Yeah. And more than an hour, I'm like, should be writing.
I did that the other day. I watched half the new Star Wars film, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
What am I doing with my life?
I turned off the remake of The Magnificent Seven, which came out like last year. I was about 40 minutes before the end, and I just thought, what is the point in having this last 40 minutes of my life? I know how the film is going to end. It's the same ending of every single film that's been like this forever for the last 40 years.
Well, that is the thing with bad films. Like, that's the thing. Like, if it's a good film and you watch it and you're like, okay, do you know what? I enjoy that too. If it's a bad film and you've spent 2 hours, you're like, I don't get that back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So basically, release date. we could just call it that, is the release dates of films. So it's just the year. And okay. it's the American release date, which isn't that different. Everyone was like, American release? It's not that different. It's like 6 months at the most.
Yeah.
So it's basically the year a film came out. So okay. it's quite easy to guess. So what we say is you get one guess each. Mm-hmm. And
we'll take in turns to guess.
You can't
first.
Have the same year. But because what I usually find is when someone picks a year, it's usually one above or one below that.
Okay.
So you can't have the same year, but we'll do it as like a little game. And
that's fun.
It's pretty.
How many have we got?
What?
How many have we got to guess?
10.
Okay.
Cool. Nice. So I'll give you an example. If I said Logan, the answer would be 2017.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. I mean, I knew I explained it, but. Question
you
one.
You could have just done the second bit.
or film one. Sorry, film one. The Iron Lady, which is about Meryl Streep playing
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah,
Nathan can go first for this one
because you know it.
No,
Iron Lady came out maybe. Oh gosh, it's definitely post 2000. I reckon 2005.
Alex.
Ooh. 2007?
2011.
What? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing is, it's not... I started with quite a difficult one, because that's quite... That's not... I mean, it is a good film, though. I watched it last night. Right. That's the main reason it was on the list.
Bumped up to question one.
Right. Film number two
well,
is...
Well, should we say, the thing about this quiz is it's normally better to try and remember what you were doing at that particular time when it came out.
That's
it?
True.
That tends to help. My, so that could help sometimes.
My friend did it by his girlfriends. So he was like, okay, I was in... Or
and for those of us that have been single for a while, that didn't help.
Laura Lex did it by when she... Because she remembered at the time a film came out, she was at uni, so she worked out where it was roughly in the years. So she was on the second year.
I can't remember about that.
Well,
I've
these
been just some gig for the last 10 years. I can't remember anything.
What gig were you doing?
Yeah, that's how I remember it.
Which traffic jam was I stuck in?
It was me, Earl Oaken. Right, film number two is Men in Black 2.
Ooh,
oh, two.
Yeah,
no,
three.
Okay. Men in Black. Do you want to go first?
I'll go. Yeah. 2003.
Hold on.
I may have cocked up, but...
what I'm going to...
I think it was earlier than that, because Men in Black 3 came out, and I'm going to see it with my mum, my little brother, my next door neighbour, and I was about 17, 18. So Men in Black 2, I'm from 6. So I'm going about 99.
Maybe I'm thinking of, I think I was thinking Men in Black 3 was 2003.
Was Men in Black 2 was 2002.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
This bloody hell.
This is what I like about this game, is you always work out what you think was actually a long time ago wasn't that long ago. And what you think was ages ago was actually quite close.
2002?
Wow.
So when did Men in Black 3 come out then?
Men in Black 3, I can tell you.
2007?
2002.
Men in Black.
So maybe it was Men in Black 2 I went to see. As opposed to Men in Black 3.
It might have been because Men in Black 3 came out in 2012.
It definitely was Men in Black 2 then. Bloody hell. Yeah. There's no way I'm going to sit about my mum, my little brother, my next door neighbour in 2012.
Still nil-nil.
Still nil-nil. Right. Question four, film number four, is The Sixth Sense.
Your turn first.
Oh, okay. Sixth Sense. When did it come out? It came out, I was in high school. What year was I in? Okay, so that would have come out in 97.
I'm going to go...
97.
You can change your guess.
Alex technically hasn't guessed yet, so
you
good.
Can guess. You can guess again.
Okay, hold on. 98.
I'm torn between 99 and 2000, so I'm going to go 99
is correct.
Oh!
99 is correct, so that's 1-0 to Alex. That was The Sixth Sense. Now, film number five, I've kept it Bruce Willis. Film number five is The Fifth Element. Film number four, yeah. Sorry.
Is it me guessing first? Fifth Element. It's you. I think that's like 96.
Oh, shit. Okay, because I was going to say 96 or 97, so I got to go
96. Yeah, that's it. I was thinking 96 or 97.
I'm going to go 97 then.
The correct answer for question number
neither four, of those.
The Fifth Element was 1997.
Ooh,
we're on 1-1. Yeah. We're coming back, fellas. Right, let's go here for this one. The next film is Showgirls.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking about that movie. Just like when you're talking about the nudie bars. I was thinking about Showgirls. Oh, was it Elizabeth Berkley?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's actually
gosh.
A good film.
It's a good film.
Ruined Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, mate, my childhood went down. My box is ready.
I remember when I first stumbled across that film, it was... I was still quite young at that time, so I was still like Saved by the Bell, still on Nickelodeon, just flicking through the channels. Like, yeah. What is Jesse doing? Yeah. Put your clothes back on.
Yeah. Does AC Slater know about this? Showgirls. Okay, Showgirls. Oh man, that again would have been late 90s time, because any time before that, she was doing Saved by the Bell. So I'm gonna say. Actually, no. Hold on. No. It came out early 90s. Because I remember an episode of Fresh Prince where they were talking about it. And Fresh Prince finished in 92.
Oh.
So I'm going to say 91.
See, I didn't know any of that information.
Oh, shit. So, me
and my name. So I'm going to go 1990.
1990. Right, okay. Showgirls. Was released in 1995.
What?
Ooh. Yeah.
When did Fresh Prince finish? Was it 92?
What I'm going to do, because Nathan was so sure, is I'm going to just double check. Yeah,
Fresh Prince might finish later and I've got my dates wrong.
Yeah. It's 1995. Google always wins.
Cool.
But, yeah, there you go. We got a couple more. Film number seven is Friday. The original Friday, not the terrible.
So
I know
this is Mike Cox's favourite film, but I've never seen this, and I've not
You've
really
never
got,
seen it.
I've never seen it. I've not really got any idea of when it was released. So I'm going to take a complete stab in the dark. 2005.
That was it. Yep. Okay. Cool. Well, he's answered. So
is that a stupid answer?
Way out of ballpark, mate. Okay, it's Chris Tucker's first film role.
So now I see how way out of the ballpark mine is.
This
is like pre-Rush Hour.
Oh yes.
If that's the disparaging way you want to refer to it, yeah. That's how he judges everything in his life. So that was
it before or after Rush? I love the Rush Hour films.
Yeah, man. Do you understand the words? It was early to mid 90s, but I can't work out which year. It was having. Oh, bloody hell. Okay. Okay. When did Chris Tucker do Def Jam? Let's just have a 93, 94, 95.
I've got to push you on one, Nathan.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's such a stickler for the rules.
95
is correct.
Boom!
So it's 2-1. 2-1.
And this is the last question.
No, this is question number 8. Have I done too many questions? No, they haven't. I am a shambles.
My feature was a lot more slick. And I've only done it twice. Wait till you hear him try and plug stuff at the end. Doing some gigs, I think, somewhere.
Okay, film number 8, The Big Lebowski.
Ooh. It's you first, I think.
Oh, bloody hell. I can't remember this. 98.
Okay.
I've got an... I think that could be right. But for some reason, my mind went straight to 2001, which I don't think is right, but because I think 98 is right, I'm going to say 2001 and go with my heart, Joe.
Okay. It was 1998.
Oh!
Come on.
Boom.
Nathan, smash this. So this is
turning into a real beating. Because Alex today has no perception of time.
I'm normally actually quite good at this. Do you know in his first quiz, it was Bambi, 1942, done.
That day you're on fire.
I've used all my powers.
I'm sure. Right, okay, last question. Last film is The Notebook.
Oh, man.
2009.
I was going to say that. oh, gosh. The Notebook is 2000. I'm going to go 2011.
2011? It's 2004. So you're both wrong.
Wow.
But Nathan has won.
Quite convincingly.
So congratulations to Nathan.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Two for two in the features.
Alex, fucking sort it out, mate. Yeah.
Congratulations, Nathan.
Thank you very much. Come on, bees.
I mean, you've won the two quizzes. Tonight's gigs don't really matter now, do they?
No, I'm going to the hotel. Right. Gonna have some me time with some newborn.
We'll put showgirls on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I love you, Jesse. I love you.
Right, that brings us quite to the plug section.
To the climax.
Cut it there.
I can't wait till someone listens. Yeah, I listen to it, but it's a real boys' club.
Talk about football, they're talking about showgirls.
Sorry, guys. I'm being scum to this podcast. I apologize.
So your tour's later this year?
Yeah, October, November, December time.
And we'll be posting our dates will be on your website, which is?
NathanCaton.com.
And we'll post out some links to it as well. And check out the Facebook Live Studs Up.
Studs Up every Thursday, 8 p.m.
And what's your Twitter?
@ Nathan Caton, all one word.
Perfect. Joe, is there anything else you'd like to plug?
Just gigs. That's what I do. Yeah, just come and see me.
Go see Nathan.
Do I have anything I want to plug? I mean, I would plug the gigs I'm doing in the Brighton Fringe, but this won't be out by the time it's over.
So, yeah, we try and keep these podcasts timeless because we don't know when.
And the last gig I plugged was a gig in Winchester a couple of weeks ago that no one turned up to, which makes me doubt our reach, to be honest.
We're big in Winchester.
So let's have a look here, eh? Pluggy plug.
Shall I plug something while you look this up?
Nathan,
what did I tell you about his plugs? We do the plug section in the same bit of the podcast every month.
I'm looking at my gig diary and it's such a shambles. I'm like, shall I plug Dave and Lisa's wedding?
Joe, I've got to go to the bank tomorrow morning, it says.
Not even paid for my room. Right, yes. I'm just gonna plug Dave and Lisa's wedding. It's been a great day. If you guys can make it down, I'm sure they'll be fine with it.
There's a 2-for-1 going. I'm gonna plug a charity gig that I'm running on Wednesday 14th of June in the Cellar Room at the Brunswick Pub. It's in aid of St Barnabas Hospice, who are based in Worthing.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, you are doing that.
We could. Yeah, that would be my one.
So that you can't do it. I'm doing it now.
You mentioned the charity as well. Sorry,
I've done it all. The lineup includes Angela Barnes, Phil Gerrard, Linda Larkin, Sanjay Arif, Joe Foster, me, and Mike Cox. It's £10. It's in the Cellar Room at the Brunswick, Wednesday, 14th of June. And email us and stuff. If you've got any film titles that you want us to give to our guests, tweet us or email us, or Al will have those details, exact email addresses and Twitter at for you at the end of this sentence.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, email us, everybody. Basically, thisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. Email us in any obscure film titles you want us to have. Also, if you want any of our guests to do a kind of agony numbers. Uncle, agony aunt kind of section as well. If you've got any problems you want our guests to try and solve, or Joe and Alex to try and solve, send us in your problems. We'll keep them completely anonymous. And you can have a celebrity guest being your agony aunt.
If you like the way Joe reads out his listings, wait till you watch him try and solve your problems. Oh, I don't know, have a beer.
Absolutely. So, thisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch.
Sounds like such a professional advert compared to us.
Right,
that brings us to the end of this month's episode. Thank you to my co-host, Joe Foster.
Thank you.
Thank you, producer Al.
Cool.
And thank you, Nathan Caton.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.